From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Thursday morning. Tony, I'm fighting the good fight right out of the gates today. You can hear it in my voice. My voice is the good fight today. I got to keep it up for the next two-plus hours as Gus Bradley will join us later on. More than likely, we'll hear that conversation tomorrow. We haven't sat down in this studio together with Gus in a while. First time this all season. I know you talked to him at the scouting combine.
I did.
But I'm very curious to see what he thinks after 1 week of OTA practices.
A lot has happened. Even since I spoke with Gus Bradley up at the NFL scouting combine, because obviously that was right after free agency had really gotten started, and we knew some of the big names that were coming to Jacksonville, but the draft hadn't happened yet. A bunch of the injury news that we've had
Calvin
here in the
Beecham
last week
probably hadn't happened yet.
Right. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff that just hadn't happened at that point in time, and I don't think Beecham was in the fold, because
I
remember
think he was either.
The conversations up at the combine were about who was going to play center, not who was going to play left tackle for this Jacksonville Jaguars team, and that's when the Brandon Linder name that had been talked about for a while at the center position really became solidified for me. You know, having the chance to talk to Dave and talk to Gus, it was, they want Brandon Linder to be the center of this football team. And if something, some other opportunity were to arise, then they may take advantage of that. But they wanted Brandon Linder to be the center of this football team. And here we are. Week one of OTAs, Brandon Linder's out there taking all the first team snaps.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't think Gus, he can't tell you who's going to be the left tackle. That's got to play out.
Right.
So it's not like we're going to be able to say, hey, give us your starting lineup for 2016. We'll talk about a lot of things with Gus. And like we like to do on the occasions when we know we're going to have Gus or Dave Caldwell join us at some point later in the day, we like to give you an opportunity to maybe, you know, spark our interest with a question of your own, and we'd be happy to pass that along to the head coach. We've had some funny ones coming in already this morning.
Yeah, I don't think I'll ask it, but I like the who was solid through the first 3 days of OTA.
That's good. That, you know what? I mean, you know, if you ask us who was solid, I think it'd go right over his head.
I think
he'd start listing guys who were solid, and it would be no big deal. My favorite one so far that we've got, and by the way, this is the Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback question of the day. If you could ask Gus one question today, what would that question be? This one from Worst in 10 on Twitter. The entire Jaguar roster has crashed on a Pacific island with no hope of rescue. Who do you eat first? That's a great question.
Mike.
Me? I'm not on the team, Terrence.
Do we have a mic?
Back off.
Do we eat the mic?
Maybe.
Do we
Look,
eat pus?
I could feed the whole team at least for a few days if you were to consume me, and that's fine. I would take one for the team.
I would think you wouldn't want to eat the mic. You don't want to eat pus. He seems like a pretty valuable guy.
He's lean,
yeah.
Right? If you got a sweet tooth, I don't think that's going to help you out. He probably is kind of like...
And he's strong.
Could you see Puzz going commando and like, you know, if he had to live on this Pacific island? I'm getting a whole fan fiction scenario going on in my head right now.
When he slammed his head into the wall during the Thursday night game last year and just got up like a Terminator.
Right.
And just walked back.
Hey, Paul, there's a coconut at the top of that tree. See what you can do for us, right?
Slam his head into it.
Put your head into it, all right? So if you can pass along a question in that regard today, and if there are any that we think are suitable, we may ask one or two of those of the head coach, and you'll hear that either live today. Again, it depends on how quickly he gets off the field. Ideally, we'd actually do it after the show, and we have a little more time to stretch things out and play that back for you tomorrow morning. But either way, as I mentioned, coming up, Marcus Pollard, Director of Player Development. Gus has got, I think it's a coach's clinic for coaches of youth football. We'll get some more details on that.
Similar to, didn't they do that last year?
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah. They may have done it a couple of times already.
Maybe, yeah.
But certainly, that's one of the things the Jags have done, is invite area coaches to attend practices, attend clinics, and improve, you know, from the ground up, grassroots here in the Jacksonville area. So Marcus is a good dude. We like to talk to him. We'll do that coming up. John Osier going to join us in less than 10 minutes. T-Wig is going to stop by in about 30, fresh off the practice field as well. Jaguar OTAs ongoing right now, day three, as far as that goes. You know, as I think of it, Tony, it is only the first week, but you could see a scenario where they got out maybe a few minutes early today. It is the holiday weekend coming up, and I know this place is shutting down for business tomorrow. So If you have any Jaguar-related business, I'd get it done today, I think. Otherwise, you're going to be waiting until next Tuesday as that goes.
I would guess so. I know they're not going to be around tomorrow, and I know they're not going to be around on Monday. So, yeah.
Right.
And I would get it in. You know how it is. I mean, everyone knows what it was like that last day of school. Everyone knows what it's like when you're going into work and you know you got the big holiday weekend coming up. Odds are that 5 o'clock checkout time turns into 4, which turns into 3. It turns into whenever the heck you can get everything done for the day, you get out of Dodge on a day like this. So get it done early if you have any business down here.
Hey, if you want to get in and give any feedback to the show, ask any questions, make any comments, any suggestions on what I can do with myself and where I could put my head, that's fine. You can do those in a variety of ways. At MD_1010XL on Twitter, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler, also 641-1010, the phone in line, and that's also the text line driven by Duval Ford, where I got one right at the top of the hour. This millennial is ready for Jaguars today. Ready, set, go. So are we. Tony, the next 10 in the list of the NFL Network's top 100
came out last night.
It did come out last night. No Jags in this group of 10 players, which took you from 70 through 61. So the top 60 still to be revealed. Carlos Dunlap, the former Gator, came in at number 70, the defensive end for the Bengals. LeSean McCoy, still getting some respect up there in Buffalo, came in at 69. T.J. Ward, Maurice Jones-Drew's cousin, by the way, came in at 68, the Denver Broncos safety. Andrew Whitworth, the Bengals offensive tackle, was 67th. Earl Thomas had a big fall, down from, I want to say, top 20, down to 66 this year. Marcus Peters, this is the one that was interesting to me. A lot of people said, hey, don't expect too much of Jalen Ramsey coming in as a rookie, right? Well, Marcus Peters was a rookie last year. And Marcus Peters tied for the NFL lead with 8 interceptions last year, made the Pro Bowl, deservedly right. So. Now, he had some off-field issues that he might have been a top 10 pick had
probably
he not had off-field.
Been.
Right. So, So comparable to Ramsey, right, in terms of draft stock coming in, even though he fell to later in the round because of off-the-field issues. Well, here's a guy, Tony. The year prior, Kansas City had 5 interceptions as a team. He had more interceptions than the entire Chiefs team did the year before, and he did that as a rookie, which is extremely rare historically for that to be done. Just the Lionel Washington had 8 picks in his rookie year compared to 6 for the Rams in the season prior. Those are the only two guys since 1940 who've done that. So we looked up today. Jags had 9 picks last year. I don't expect Jalen Ramsey to get 10, but could
probably
he get
not.
5 or 6? I don't think that's out of the question. You know?
No, I don't think it is either. And I think, look, the questions that people had about Jalen Ramsey coming into the draft a little bit were the hands, right? Like, if there was a question mark with Jalen Ramsey, it is his hands and his ability to actually take the ball the other way. His athletic ability puts him in position to make plays. I know talking to Jeff Loggeman, who obviously had studied the film on the guy as we were getting ready for the draft, said that there are a lot of times where he's in position to make a play on the ball, and instead of trying to make the interception, he would just stick the one hand out there and knock it down. So you get the pass defensed. You make the play, but you don't make a play, right? It's not like you're making that momentum-changing play, and it certainly feels like something that he can improve on as he comes into the NFL, because his ability physically ought to put him in positions where he can make those kind of game-changing plays for this Jaguars defense. It's just a question of whether or not he's going to be able to develop that as he goes into the league, because he's going to be in position to do it. He's too fast, he's too physical, he's too big and athletic to not be in position to do those kinds of things. It's going to be a matter of whether or not he does.
We'll talk a little bit more about that as we go along today as well. Rashad, just to finish off the top 10, the 10 picks last night that came off the board, number 64, Rashad Jones, safety from Miami, had a ridiculous year in terms of productivity, 135 tackles, 5 picks last year. Gerald McCoy, another big fall. He, along with Earl Thomas, took a big tumble this year. But came in at number 63, the defensive tackle for the Bucs. Demaryius Thomas down to 62 this year after, by his standards, an offseason. Navarro Bowman back in on the list after 1 year's absence because of injury. Coming in, the 49er linebacker at 61. Still 2 Jaguars to debut this year on the list, and we expect Allen Robinson and likely Malik Jackson to be those guys.
Which one do you think we see first?
I think we see Malik Jackson first.
I do, too.
I just think the numbers for Allen Robinson are so eye-popping. I think he will get more love. I do think players are, you know, Allen Robinson was a highlight machine a lot of weeks in the season last year. I just think it's easier to see the impact of a wide receiver. I may be wrong. I don't know. But I think we'll see Malik. In other words, I think Allen Robinson will be the highest-ranked Jaguar in the NFL's top 100. But if you want to weigh in on that, you're welcome to do that as well. Coming up next, John Osier, the senior writer for Jaguars.com, joins us straight off the OTA practice field. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler, Devitt here with you. We're live at the JOI Studios, Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios at Everbank Field. It's Jaguars Today. Hope the voice hangs in there on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Osher.
Oh No's.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
Now that you've had a few weeks to be around the facility, be around the coaches, and around your teammates, any different impression than you had at first?
I mean, everybody's great, to be honest with you. I mean, it was fun when I first got here. Coach Bradley opened arms, you know, real all smiles, so that was fun. Got to meet Coach Walsh, real cool guy. You know, everybody, all the players were pretty fun. You know, everybody's opened arms. Mm-hmm. Nobody's really too much of a, you know, a-hole. Everybody's fun, you know. So I still got the same impression. You know, everybody's cool, and I'm just glad to see, you know, who's on the field and starting to learn who's who and, you know, who can do what. And it's looking really good. You know, I think coming from number one defense last year, I think that, you know, we can really kind of go out there and reach for it. You know, we just got to, like I said, stay healthy and keep working.
That was yesterday on .com Live, Jaguars.com Live, John Osier and J.P. Shadrick on location with Malik Jackson. Now, John,
he threw me a little bit.
Did, when he said, you know, nobody's really been an a-hole around here, did he give a little side eye to Shadrick? Did he just give a quick glance?
Well, later on when he talked about stalkers in town, he did give a little eye to Shadrick.
Shadrick wouldn't follow. Yeah. Does he realize it was his job to pick him up at the airport?
I nodded towards Shadrick, and Malik, you know, kind of gave me a look.
A little eye roll. Like,
we both get it. You know, that kind of look.
You and I know.
Right. So, and if you notice, I wasn't sure when Malik said A. Wasn't sure where he was going.
Right.
So that's why I kind of panicked a little bit. I was trying to help him out.
You've
been there. You know,
yes.
I wasn't sure whether to jump in. I kind of panicked. It was bad.
Well, for us,
he did the same with us. He asked if he could curse.
He did. Right.
Yeah.
We said go ahead and we'll bleep it.
Yeah.
So I think we recorded the interview for the
right.
next day. It was
no,
fantastic.
Good guy. I mean,
he seems like a fun guy.
Always interesting to, and you guys go through the same thing. It's always interesting as these guys are new, as you get older in what I do. I like to sort of watch guys as they get acclimated to a place, as they learn more about a place. And it's sometimes, I think, difficult when you're not around the team all the time to remember that these guys are coming into a new situation. We've heard of them, and fans know they're good players, but then they've got to get here and get acclimated. You know, Malik's got to get to know Audric and Sendarik and these guys. And it's sometimes interesting to see how they become close, how they become friends quickly, how they mesh. And, you know, I kind of asked Malik, anybody sort of stand out being a different guy? And I said, I'm talking about Sen. He goes, yeah, I figured you were. And that sort of, you know, so it is neat to see the personalities mesh. And all reports are that the defensive line room has a lot of powerful personalities in it, Audric, Sen, Roy, you know, but it seems like it's been a good mix. So it needs to be a good mix. It needs to be a good area of the team.
Hey, this is not the week to judge defensive and offensive line play, clearly, in OTAs,
right,
in non-contact kind of situations. But he looks the part. I mean, just from a physical
sure.
standpoint, he looks the part. I think he's got his respect around the league based on the way he played last year.
Seems to also be a fit, and you guys know this as well as anybody, what he does well seems on paper and logically to be a fit for what they're asking him to do in that three technique. It seems like I don't see any reason why it wouldn't work. We've seen him do it in Denver. I guess the only question is he as good at it without
Ware and
yeah, the
Miller
great players on the
guys,
end.
Sure.
I mean, and that's – he has to be more of the prime force than maybe he was in Denver, meaning
– I think he can be. You know,
there's no reason to think he can't.
Sendarik Marks was, right, on a team bereft of really any threats a couple of seasons ago.
Although hear people in Denver tell it – they considered Malik a guy that offenses had to account for. So that's always the big adjustment when you're going against guys and you become elite, which at 90 million people are going to consider him elite. Can you withstand teams concentrating on you rather than being a guy who benefits from teammates around him. It seems like he can.
Yeah, Jack's certainly missing that last year without, you know, the fall off from what Derek Marks gave him two seasons ago, not through no fault of his own with the injury situation. Last thing on Malik here, we were talking, Tony and I, going through the latest 10 players released in the NFL Network's countdown, the top 100 players. So they're down to 60 left, and it's our understanding that five guys who are currently members of the Jags are in the top 100. Chris Ivory being one that just recently got named last week. Prior to that, Telvin Smith and Allen Hurns. Allen Robinson's a mortal lock. There's still some debate. Is it Bortles? Is it Malik Jackson as that other guy? Assuming those boundaries are correct.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if the five is, you know, I know that's coming off of sort of a intro comment on the show earlier, right? I mean, I think we're getting that five from something they said on the show there. So, you know, I wonder if that's not wrong, because I'm thinking that Bortles and Malik are probably both on it.
Both on it.
Well, I mean, I would, if I didn't have a five number out there,
right?
I would sort of think that both of them had a really good chance. I mean, I never know with lists because you don't know how they're put together. I mean, so I never like to get, oh my gosh, this has to be the way it is on a list. But I would think they'd both be on it. I would argue more for Malik if I was sitting in a room making the choice than I would Blake. But
I would as well, but
I think if Blake's on the list now, which we're at, what, 60 or
60,
higher?
Right.
I think it's too high.
I agree. And Tony, I made a couple of points. Comparing him to Derek Carr, no matter how we feel about him, the national perception is Derek Carr is a little bit ahead of Blake Bortles right now. I don't know if that filters down to the players who vote on this, but if you look, Derek Carr, far fewer interceptions, also threw 32 touchdowns, and they won more games in Oakland. And those things, the interceptions and the lack of just total wins for Blake, I think are what keep him out of the top 100. So if he's in the top 60, I'm going to be surprised. But when you look at Malik Jackson, Tony, as we talked about, didn't he really open eyes with his postseason play as well? And this is voted on in December, so had he done enough at that point to really garner top 60 recognition?
I think that's when he really burst on the scene. If you go back and look at his year, though, the first half of his year was really, really good. And so maybe there were people talking about Malik Jackson. Denver, halfway through the year, was talking about trying to get a contract extension with Malik and Wolf, and they wound up getting the deal done with Derek Wolf. Malik basically bet on himself going through the season. So I think some of that kind of stuff filters down to the players. I'm curious to see where he may wind up with
that. And I never quite put that much stock into any list, but even though it's players voting on it, when players vote in the Pro Bowl, they sort of vote the same way a lot of people do. They vote on guys they've heard of. They vote on guys they've played against. So, you know, I'm still guessing it's probably Blake because quarterback seems to get that burst of recognition that a defensive lineman can't, even among players. So I'm guessing it's going to be Blake, but I don't have a good, you know.
It doesn't really matter in the end, but it is interesting to see because it's the players and what catches their eye,
right?
You know, and what garners their votes, because I think they can only vote for what, Tony, 20, 25 guys, something like that, right?
Yeah, I don't know. The list is 20 or 25. I just don't know.
Right, so the guys who are finishing in the 90s could be receiving, for all we know, a handful of votes across the league, and it just, you know, anybody who gets a vote is going to have a chance to get in the top 100. All right.
There's probably 10 guys who are unanimous picks. Everything else starts filtering down after that.
So. Yeah, you're right about that. Third day of OTAs this week. You know, just got started this morning, but do you feel like they're happy with the way things have gone the first couple of practices?
Yeah, and I was thinking about this as I was walking in. You know, after 3 days, what is there to say about OTAs? Is there a definitive comment you can make? You know, they look fine. Blake looks like a third-year quarterback should look. There aren't as many mistakes on offense as there were when he first came in. All that stuff you would expect from a unit that has more of a feel together. As I was leaving the field just now, I looked out and I saw Marquise Lee still running around and looking healthy. I think that's significant. That's what everybody wants to see, hoping to see. And we haven't seen the last couple of years. So to still be seeing that, and he was talking to Blake on the field, to see him involved is what everybody wanted to see. Major storylines. I think we have a feel from talking to players what the defense is going to be. Ryan Davis is moving. That's a new wrinkle. They're going to look very similar on first and second down to what they did last year. And I think Todd Wash is going to have a lot of wrinkles on the passing situation downs that maybe weren't there last year. So stuff like that, you start learning more and feeling more solidified about what the team's going to look like and what it wants to look like. What it actually will look like is still out there.
Sure. Have you sensed any frustration at all with, look, a lot of new faces on defense, a lot of moving pieces on that side of the ball? Any frustration at all with them not being able to have Ramsey and Jack out there at this point in the offseason?
I mean, they'd like to, obviously. I don't think there's any doubt that there's a little bit of a eye roll about the Miles Jack rule, that everybody in the league is sort of like, you know, when you have to deal with that with a first round pick, it starts feeling sort of silly because it probably doesn't have the benefit that the league wants it to. Meaning it's put in clearly to have people stay in school and finish school. Well, with first round picks, they're not really going to school anyway.
Right.
So
there may be a few guys that are really taking advantage of this rule, and they're, you know, in a pressure free way. Hey, I can't be there, so
It's a well intended rule. It probably doesn't have that big.
To me, it's just PR for coaches, for college coaches to continue to give us access, continue to let us on your campus, and continue to be our free minor league system.
It's hard to say anything that's meant as pro academics is bad, but it probably doesn't have the benefit. I mean, it doesn't have the benefit that it's supposed to have. So there's a little bit of that. But realistically, I don't get the idea once you get into training camp. I think 2 weeks into training camp, we won't be talking about the fact that Miles Jack and Jalen Ramsey weren't there unless they're not there early in training camp. I think if you get one or the other, I think they're talented enough guys that they'll get in.
All right, what do we have coming up with the Ozone over the next 4 days? Four-day weekend for you?
Well, it's going to be a dry for over the Memorial Day weekend. I'll be doing the Ozone, but I won't be humping it, put it that way. So it'll be a little bit of time off.
All right, I like that, a little downtime. What's the OTA schedule for next week?
I believe it's Tuesday, Thursday, Friday on, and not on Monday, obviously.
I look forward to it. Johnny, have a great, well-deserved little respite this weekend.
Well, you're moving up right now because we got T-Wig. So
are you intimidated right now because he is sitting to your immediate right?
By 2 weeks into training camp, you won't remember that Miles Jack wasn't here. In about 5 minutes, you won't even know the Ozone is here.
You're a good man. All right.
All right, guys.
There he goes. John Osier. Thank you, buddy. At John Osier on Twitter, and, of course, check him out on the digital pages of Jaguars.com, Jaguars.com Live yesterday. You can go back and check out some of the archived audio video as well with that for you guys.
You always got to have me on video, Mike.
Of course. I shouldn't have thought otherwise. So check that out at Jaguars.com. All right, T-Wig, fresh off the practice field, going to join us coming up next. It is a Thursday morning right here. We're live in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. Day 3 of OTAs, week 1 wrapping up. We'll talk to Gus Bradley later today, but likely you'll hear that conversation tomorrow. All depends on the timing. You have to stick around to find out. T-Way coming up next. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt here with you. It's Jaguars Today live at Everbank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Oh, it's real cool right now. You know, just to see where this program is headed. As far as the guys we're bringing in with free agency and also the draft, things are really exciting around here. So just to see guys come in and contribute to what we have going on, I think things are going to be very special around here very soon.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
That was Jaguar wide receiver and, so say his peers, top 100 player in the National Football League, Allen Hurns, as he appeared yesterday on the Midday Chalk with everybody on the station, not named Mike and Tony, I think, Tony. They've got quite the large lineup these days. Is it a contest between the Midday Chalk and the Frangie Show to see who can field the most representatives at any given time? I don't know, but we've got the best one here with us right now. T-Wig is
man.
In the house.
That's awfully nice of you to
Come
say.
Come on. You know I love you, brother.
That's right. What's up, fellas?
How are you?
chilling, man. Hot outside. Of course, I had to wear all black and make it even hotter on myself.
How does that bucket hat fit you? Because my you have a pretty big head.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It fits me just fine.
Does it?
Yes.
Because I think we all got.
That Ricky Fowler hat doesn't fit me very well. I'll tell you that.
Is that right?
Oh,
that I Ricky didn't even try it on because we.
It stretches. It stretches, small. But man, it feels like you're in a vice, man.
We actually a guy named Seth who won one of our contests. I think, where is he from? Texas, I think he was from.
Yeah, it was Texas.
Maybe Houston. I love the fact that there's Jaguar fans in enemy territory, but he won it with the Ricky Fowler autograph photo and donated it to the J Fund, which was very
Oh, that
cool.
was awesome.
A lot of synchronicity going on out there. But so it does fit you. Mine doesn't fit. So maybe my head is even bigger as I throw shade at your large dome. Yeah, have you ever hear the Joe Cowart line about Lamb?
No.
Would you rather have $1 million or David Lamb's head full of nickels? It's that's a tough call.
Hey, it is a tough
call. You're like,
talk about Uncle Dave, man. Uncle Dave's my boy, man.
Me too, but look, the man's head is enormous. If it were dimes, forget it, all right? Yeah. You don't want the million.
Leave it up to Cowart. The Cowart must have been drinking when he said, because Cowart will put a beer down on you now.
He will, but no, Joe's been saying that for years. I used to hear him say it back on another network that I don't believe is in business any longer, but that's the rumor.
If it is, nobody knows.
Oh, the one I was over there too for a little while.
We
were
all over there at one point in time. Oh, yeah. You got to start somewhere.
Yeah, right.
You got to start small in this business. So, what have you seen? You've been out here every day, right, for OTAs.
Mm-hmm.
What you can say, and we can't get into specifics. Right. We understand all that, but just in terms of general attitude, athleticism, what has caught your eye?
The thing that caught my eye is Malik Jackson, his size. His sheer athleticism, and then the thing that caught my ear was Malik Jackson, because I went up to him in the locker room the other day, and I asked him for 30 seconds. He said, "You got it, 30 seconds, right?" So, and I adhered to it. When it was over, I said, "That's 30 seconds, man. I'm gone." He said, "I respect that, Wig." Just like so, maybe the next time I ask for 45 seconds.
See?
But I did ask him since he's coming off of a team that won it all. And he's here now to do a little bit of comparing and contrasting. Does it feel right? Once you've made that journey and that walk that he did with Denver last year, it seems like you would know what it feels like to be on a team that's headed in that direction. He says it feels the same. He says, but it feels the same for everybody right now because every team in the league thinks they're going to the Super Bowl. So that put it in perspective that even the guy that's into it the way he is and wants to basically earn his paycheck and he's going to be in a fishbowl. People are going to be watching him, making sure that he was worth that money. He basically said, hold on, we got to do it first. It feels like this every year for every team. They think they're going to win the Super Bowl. But I will tell you this. In the past, I always wondered, everybody talks about the rotation and how many guys they have. The way I see it, Mike, when you get good, they're going to be four or five guys on offense and four or five guys on defense that, regardless of the situation, are going to be the people that you depend on. Well, I don't know if they got them, but at least now I can identify and I know who they're supposed to be.
Who they're supposed to be.
Who they're supposed to be. I know who it is.
Yeah, and some of those guys aren't going to be on the field for him, unfortunately, here during this part of the offseason, because I certainly think Ramsey and Jack are potentially those types of guys for this Jaguars team. So there is a level of frustration with those guys not being available to him, but Malik Jackson is out there, and like you said, there's going to be a bullseye on that guy's back, and the $90 million man's wearing 90 on his back every day.
That's right.
So there's a lot of a focus right there. And in the back end of it, Tashaun Gibson, the guy that we've talked about since they signed him, as maybe being kind of that sneaky best signing that they've had during this entire offseason. I know Gus has been glowing in his praise of him through the first couple days of practice, and I haven't had a chance to get out there and see it, but it feels like they may have finally found a center fielder.
Yeah, yeah. And Gus is raving about how fast Tashaun is moving around and getting to places and running for a guy who just learned what they actually want him to do. Usually, if you don't have that navigation system, no matter how athletic you are or fast you are, you're hesitant. Well, he's not. It's pedal to the floor for him so far. And by the way, on defense, I'll tell you who I think those guys are going to be, because I don't know where they're going to play Miles Jack. I'll hold off for a minute. I think eventually he's the Mike. I don't know if it's this year or next year.
I don't think it'll be this year.
Right. But I think the four or five guys, and I'm going to put pressure on him, is Ramsey. Because he's clearly stated he's going to be the outside corner. And he's going to get – they're going to come at him. They're going to test him right away.
No doubt.
Okay? So that in itself creates a situation where whether he's good or not immediately, the fact that they're coming to him, well, that kind of puts you even by default into the hot seat. Fowler, because everyone is going to be watching. They need the Leo so bad to be good here and get pressure. And obviously the two of the guys we've already mentioned are Gibson and Jackson. The other guy for me is Telvin Smith. I think Telvin is
– he's got to make more big plays.
He's that Levante David. He's that – even though he's not a middle linebacker, he's Bobby Wagner, but playing weak side. I think he has to be that guy that just constantly shows up with his speed, because now that they're so big and athletic on the offensive line, and Mike, you know this, and Tony, you do too. Whenever you're going after the pass rusher, guess what that creates? Gaps. That key, because everyone's not playing gap and hole. They're really trying to get after the passer. That means usually there are holes in there, and somebody has to fly up and knock somebody out.
And it seems like they have guys with the athleticism to do that now. Most of it unproven, right? Mm-hmm. Or to a large scale. I mean, Dan Scooter's had some success, but when you talk about guys like Ngakoue coming on, you see more raw athleticism on this roster, certainly than they had 3 years ago, but even compared to last year, I think it's pretty stark. We don't know how all these guys are going to play, and we know what the best case and worst case scenarios may be, but when you look at the overall composition of the roster, which is pretty much set right now, there could be a veteran pickup along the way. What area concerns you the most still?
The offensive line, because of the moving parts. You know, we can talk all day about how good of a player Linder is, and so now he's in a more important position, and can, and all of the veteran additions that are going to compete for positions at the guard spot, and whether Kelvin Beachum is healthy, who I saw him out there today doing some stuff on the side, and Joku can't play left tackle because he bends too much and has problem with speed, but if you put him at left guard and where things are more confined, he'll be – that's a lot of stuff for one unit. And you guys know this. The offensive line is the one unit on a football team that could be good. If the offensive line is bad, it makes the whole football team look bad. Because if you can't block or convert on third and one and you can't get people off the field, I mean, you can't keep your defense off the field because, you know, it's three and out, three and out, three and out. And then you can't pass protect when you need to without leaving a tight end in. It is the one unit that is so important that it will render your entire team. It affects the other side of the ball. It will render you ineffective because you play high-octane, fast, run, float-to-the-ball defense like they want to. The last thing you want is to be 98 degrees outside and your offense is going three and out. You would get worn out.
Well, it affected them greatly last year. They couldn't run the ball with rare exceptions. short yardage, struggle all season long, and Blake's still taking too many hits. Now, doesn't mean they – didn't take big strides forward offensively, but it shows you if you could solidify that group and really more than solidify it, make it go from below average to above average, you could really take a significant jump, at least in efficiency, and that what that does for all the overall numbers, who knows? You know, maybe passing touchdowns come down, rushing ones.
Well, stop
rise,
having to
whatever.
Overcome it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what Blake and those guys had to do last year. They had to overcome the fact that the offensive line didn't perform at the level you need them to perform. And the issue is, you're right, Wig, with all the moving pieces, there's no unit on the team that needs continuity more than that's that right. offensive line. And look, we don't even know we have no idea who's the left guard for this team right now. Nope. I don't know. We don't know who the left tackle is for this team right now. I feel like center, right guard, and right tackle, we at least know who's playing those positions for this team, but you're putting a guy in Brandon Linder, as talented as he is, in that spot for the first time in his career. I think he's going to be fine there because I just think he's physically gifted enough that he's going to be fine doing whatever you ask him to do on an offensive line, especially in those interior three spots. But you're asking for basically the motor of your offense to not have any continuity and can't have that continuity until we get into training camp because we just don't know who's competing for what spot right now.
You can have the bodies, you can have the people in place, but without the repetition and the cohesion, it still might not be what you need it to be. So for me, that's the biggest question. The other thing is, and this is not really a question, and it's not really something that you worry about, but it is – something that I have thought about. Blake Bortles, I need to see it again. I don't doubt him from an athletic standpoint. I also don't doubt him. When you're around him, you feel the aura and you feel the work ethic and you feel like he's a guy that gets it. I'm not one of those people that thinks that, you know, folks that say, oh, it's kind of like Favre, you'll always have to deal with those picks. No, you don't have to deal with those picks. You can be more efficient. You can't, because it's not going to be about those regular season games. Even with Favre, and he's one of the best of all time, just condense it down to the playoff games. And see, doesn't it make you want to pull your hair out?
It does, but I think it's difficult if you say, hey, play this way for 16 games, be a different guy in the postseason.
Right.
I do think there is something to some guys are wired to be risk takers, right? Just in life. Right?
And I like that.
And so I do think that some guys will naturally have a higher interception total. Go look at Peyton Manning's first 5 years in the league and how many picks that guy threw. And we want to talk about a guy who is not necessarily a risk taker, a guy who is very methodical and calculating and efficient, turned into a brilliantly efficient guy. Wasn't that way always. For 5 years, that's half a decade, T-Wig.
Well, that's my point. He has to. People are saying that, well, that's what you're just always going to get. You didn't get it with Peyton. He worked on it.
Right, but it wasn't year three.
No.
It wasn't like that. It was, you know, he got better, but he was stuck in that mid to high teens and picks for quite a while with that football team. And I will say this. You say you want to see it again for Blake. I want to see it for the first time. I mean, I know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see it better than it was, because what it was great in kind of a fire drill scramble type situation.
Absolutely.
A lot of second halves. But you know what? Not everyone is capable of making plays. People think, well, if you just throw the ball, you're going to have success. You're going to throw a lot of touchdowns. I don't think it works that way.
Mm-mm.
There have been plenty of bad teams over the years that haven't had guys throw 35 touchdowns for them. But he's got to cut down. Even if the number doesn't shrink significantly in the total interceptions, the critical ones when you pull within a score late third quarter and all of a sudden you're back down 13 points again because
sure.
he gave up a pick six.
And there's a difference between, I mean, clearly the arm strength of a guy like Blake Bortles and Brett Favre, who he gets compared to a lot. Brett had a lot of interceptions because Brett believed he could throw it where no one else could get it,
mm-hmm.
right? And so he would make those kind of mistakes where you're like, why did you think you could throw it there? And he's like, because I've done it. You know,
yep.
I've been able to throw a ball hard enough that I can get it to that spot if I want to. Blake doesn't have that. It feels like Blake's mistakes are more he didn't see it. And that's the frustrating part of it. He needs to be able to see it going into year three.
Jameis, to me, when he was throwing picks, seemed as if he was trying to outthink someone. It was Ellis Johnson in the national championship game. You're trying to outthink a 60-year coach. So Jimbo put everybody in bunch coverage to stop thinking and just play. It seems like Jameis was more like Phillip Rivers, was more like Peyton, where he was playing cards. He was playing chess, and he lost. Whereas it seems like Blake, much like Favre and sometimes like Roethlisberger, just thinks he can do it.
Yeah.
Off physical ability.
All right, here's the deal. You know I like to wheel and deal, right? We play in fantasy leagues and all that. I like to make a deal.
You're the worst. You know
I
what?
I want to win the deal.
No, I will not. When you pick up you try to deal with Dempsey, you understand something.
Just
you're going to leave with your pockets hanging
out. You might like this. You might not like this. I'm not giving up Tony. Tony and I are a box set, okay? But what could we offer midday chalk for your services? What could we give up? You know, none of these other guys are in here on a daily basis. Tyler's not going anywhere either. Tyler's with us. We're riding with Tyler and Tony.
Come on, man. We've already done promo work and artwork. You want to tell me you're going to get those people in the building to do
minute.
That stuff all over? Have you seen my picture?
You call that art?
I love it.
Oof.
I love it. They
wow.
got you ain't putting no hair on my chin, but still.
All right. I guess, you know what? Maybe we need someone a little bit more discerning in this booth, Tony. T-Way, good to see you.
You too, man.
1010XL. _T_wig, right?
Yeah.
I mean, enough. I have one underscore, and it's bad enough, right? Two
mm-hmm.
underscores in there. 1010XL, _T_wig. Wig has two G's in there. Go follow him if you're not already following T-Wig on Twitter, and listen to him religiously every day on the Midday Chalk until we can come up with a box of stale donuts so we can slot for this guy.
Hey, we can sit and talk about it now.
They're interested in any old softball trophies. We got a bunch of those over here, by the way. You know?
Yeah.
We got a Fortunato bobblehead. Right.
You know what? The Fortunato bobblehead might do it.
That might get it done.
That might do it.
I don't know if we
thanks,
want to
man. Thanks for
that.
Having me, and I'm going to go ahead in and get ready for the greatest show in the world.
Well, you don't need to get ready. You did a fine job, I thought, on the greatest show in the world. Thank you, T-Wig.
All right, man. Thanks.
We'll see you, buddy. There he goes, T-Wig with the Midday Chalk with Joe C. and Rick Ballew and Hacker. Weekdays from noon until 3 o'clock right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Quick break. Come back. This Dayton football, the Honda drive around the NFL. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
Hi, I'm Mike. And this state football Whoa. History is brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive
like
and Cosmetic Dentistry.
Like the kid on the YouTube video, have you seen him where he's all painted up like a zombie?
I don't believe I have.
And they ask him, you know, like he's at like a fair, and they're like, "Oh, isn't this thing awesome?" Like the reporter goes through this whole question. They put the mic in the kid's face, and he goes, "I like turtles." Like,
that's
but
awesome.
But he's dressed up like a zombie, and that's what I'm Tyler. Like it was just that kind of.
I like turtles.
Yeah, there he is.
Nice.
Yeah, I like turtles.
I like turtles as well. Who doesn't like turtles? By the way, there was a Walking Dead episode where what's the girl's name? The little. What do you call her? The little, I don't know, the little angst-ridden girl. You're behind. You're behind.
I am behind.
And, oh, just survived somehow. She ate the turtle. She ripped it apart, ate it raw. It was great. Good episode. All right. Famous birthdays for this date, Tony. It is May 26th. Go back to 1939. Brent Musburger was born on this date. Mm. Brent Musburger has done just about everything you could want to
you're
do.
Looking
I would
think,
live. You are looking alive. That's a great catchphrase, right? I mean, you know exactly who you're talking about. Here's a quick timeline of Brent Musburger. I won't give you the years, just some of the things he's worked on. The NFL on CBS play-by-play, NBA on CBS play-by-play, NFL Today studio host, U.S. Open tennis play-by-play, college basketball on CBS studio host, the Masters studio host, NCAA football play-by-play on CBS, World Series commentator for CBS Radio, college basketball and CBS lead play-by-play, Monday Night Football studio host, college basketball, college football, college basketball, Little League World Series, Rose Bowl, Baseball Night in America, NBA Finals, World Cup studio host, BCS National Championship, NBA on ESPN, NBA on ABC, Indy 500 studio host, on and on it goes. This guy does just about everything. Brent Musburger's birthday today, he turns 77 years old. Dan Pastorini, used to like watching Dan Pastorini. He was Earl Campbell's quarterback for a time back in the day.
Yeah, I talked to him at the Super Bowl this year.
That's right, you did talk to him at the Super Bowl. Got into what, drag racing? Was it the whole Formula One?
Yeah, he got into drag racing, and he was also the one that had the really cool like before and after pictures. Like he was going through a specific therapy for something with his
right.
brain injuries, and he had the pictures of it. He was like, you know, the spots that you see lighting up are basically the dead spots in my brain. And he showed, he was like, here's before I started this therapy, here's after, and it was drastically
it really was.
Different.
It was for crazy. All I know, they were painted on there to begin with. I don't
sure.
know, but if those were accurately representing what they were supposed to, it was pretty striking. You're right. Wesley Walker, born in the state in 1955. He's 61, a two-time Pro Bowl wide receiver, averaged 19 yards a catch for his career in the NFL. And Greg Lloyd, NFL linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers, 5 Pro Bowls, 3-time first-team All-Pro, is 51 years old. Today, Tony, if I say Greg Lloyd, what's he known for? Pass rush, right? He's a pass rusher,
yeah.
right? Fearsome guy and all that. How many sacks would you say, roughly, in his career?
Greg Lloyd for his career?
Yes.
95.
Less than 60.
Really?
He had one double-digit sack season. I was just looking at some of his numbers this morning. Anyway, the state in football brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. 620-9225, the number. Visit jamesjmccall.com. Get a complete list of their comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Buffalo Bills general manager Doug Whaley has apologized and clarified some remarks he made earlier this week. Whaley said that humans weren't designed to play football during a radio interview, which apparently upset a lot of people for some reason, and forced Whaley to follow up those comments a day later by saying that he used a poor choice of words and that I was trying to say injuries are just part of the game. As Doug now knows, if he didn't already, so apparently is missing the actual point someone is making with what they say and instead choosing to create a story where one doesn't exist. Sometimes I understand why sports figures just don't like the media. New York Jets defensive end Sheldon Richardson spoke to the media after an OTA practice yesterday. Richardson is still waiting to hear from the league about whatever punishment he could receive stemming from being pulled over for driving 140 miles per hour. With a 12-year-old in the car, the officer on scene reported smelling marijuana, though there weren't any charges pursued for drug possession or child endangerment. Richardson did plead guilty, however, to resisting arrest. So we'll see if the NFL is going to do anything about that or not.
Yeah.
And the four players that were named with Peyton Manning, who it came out earlier today, he's not going to pursue that lawsuit against Al Jazeera.
Right.
But the other four players from the NFL that were named in association with that report, apparently the NFL is expected to be talking to them very soon, but have not talked to them yet.
At least question them, and you would yeah. think you could understand. Peyton Manning doesn't have to cooperate with anything the NFL wants to do. If they request to talk to him, it would become interesting, though, as it's been speculated, Peyton Manning may want to get into ownership one day And, you know, look, I don't, from everything you understand, that Al Jazeera report was a bunch of bunk, right? That's
the
best
guy
as
who
we know.
Said it.
Right. He had
said,
said himself. In, right. So, but let's assume Peyton Manning, just for whatever reason, didn't want to talk to the NFL about this issue. Would they make trouble for, you know what I mean? Like, would they say, hey, we'd like to get this cleared up if you want to come into the good graces? I don't know if they could. You know, they couldn't stop a team from hiring him, could
yeah,
they?
I don't know. I mean, look, I think we're all still a little bit surprised that they're pursuing Tom Brady as hard as they have and as long as they have on something as, it feels like, as small as the how much air is in a football during a particular game. It feels like that's a really small infraction, but the NFL certainly hasn't let go of that bone right at this point with one of the faces of the game in Tom Brady. So would I put it past them? If Peyton Manning wanted to come back and do something like that, that they're like, okay, we're happy to have you back. Let's talk about this real quick before we do that. I wouldn't put it past them at this point.
All right, coming up, we got Marcus Pollard going to join us to talk about the latest that Gus Bradley has going on, reaching out to the community of football coaches here on the First Coast. Tony, I just was looking through the Wikipedia article, which is always fascinating, on Brent Musburger, though. It was not on Blake's reading list this week, but nevertheless, I checked this one out. Brent Musburger, they said one of the highlights of his life was being immortalized as an action figure for his star turn in Rocky II, where he played himself in Rocky II.
They made an action figure?
They have an action figure, which, by the way, looks nothing like Brent Musburger, other than the fact that he's a white guy in a suit and he has, you know, appropriate hair color. Doesn't look anything like him. Yeah. McFarlane was not around carving those faces back then.
And that was in the 70s, so it was. I'm sure it's awful.
What was Rocky II, like 79?
Maybe. The first Rocky
76 was Rocky.
Yeah, it was 76. So
maybe
78, 79 probably.
79, yeah. Right on the mark, Tyler Devitt. By the way, Tyler, your new nickname is T-Dog, apparently, according
T-Dog.
To the text line.
Okay.
T-Dog.
All right.
Yeah, so that's what somebody went with on the text line. Just throwing that out there for you. D-A-W-G. How else would you spell it? Come on, are you kidding me?
Was Short Dog the one who named you T-Dog?
It may have been Short Dog in Gainesville. Well, shout out to Short Dog in Gainesville. I hope he's listening right now. You know he is. All right, we will get to your fan feedback spotlight later, asking if you could ask one question to Gus Bradley today, what would that be? Tony and I are going to talk with Gus probably right after the show, but possibly before the show is done, so stick around to find out. We'll talk with Marcus Pollard next, the Jags Director of Player Development. I think I got that right. He's nodding his head yes, so I got that right off the top of my head, and I'm amazed that I did. He's going to join us next in studio, live at EverBank. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at EverBank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, Tony, obviously whoever's calling me for the 904 area code does not know me. Well, I bet I call that back and I get some messaging service or something like that. I don't
answer.
If
you would like to be taken off this list.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to be called unless your name is in my phone.
You've won a free home security system.
Right, something like that. Or usually it's a cruise. I'm big with winning. I have stacks of cruises, free cruises that I've won. If you guys want to go on a cruise, you let me know. I will hook you up. Mike Dempsey. Tony Smith here with you. Marcus Pollard joining us now. What's up, man? How are you? I get 79 and 80?
Two of the last three times out.
You're unbelievable.
I'm doing pretty good since the new knees.
Apparently.
Marcus is learning how seriously we take this whole sports thing, too. That's our conversation on the break.
All we talked about was Rocky IV action figures, right? Not Rocky II because of the Musburger, but the Rocky IV. And Ludmilla Drago is getting no love.
Zero love.
$6 on eBay. Are you kidding me?
People don't want it.
Duke, Apollo's trainer, goes for what was it? Like
90.
$90.
Yeah, from Rocky II.
And said, right? Ludmilla goes for $6.
I didn't even know they made those action figures.
Yeah, that is interesting.
He's got a new quest. Are you kidding me? He loves him some Rocky IV.
I do love. I like all the Rocky movies, but Rocky IV is this guilty, I can't turn it off if it's on movie.
It's America.
Which was the worst Rocky for you?
Rocky V.
Which one was that?
That was with Tommy Gunn.
Oh, yeah, that was the worst one. That's the one I was thinking
of. He's training Tommy.
It's almost like you have to say other than 5,
yeah.
Right? Because
yeah.
Rocky Balboa was pretty good.
I really liked Rocky Balboa. And
I haven't seen the new one.
Creed was really good, too.
Yeah. Was it?
Yeah, it was really good.
Was it Michael B. Jordan? Is that who the – Yeah. He's good in everything, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. He's really good,
pretty
much.
Marcus Pollard is good in everything as well. He is developing the personnel on this roster. He's the director of player development. Is that right? I just said it a minute ago.
That's right. You got it right,
Mike. I know. I don't know why I keep questioning myself, man. I should feel better about that, stronger about that. We'll talk about what's going on with the squad and some of the new guys and your impressions of them. But let's talk about what Gus Bradley's got going on. Such a cool thing. And we've seen the area coaches respond to this over the last couple of years and seen it grow so big, Marcus, in just a couple of seasons. Doing another coaching clinic coming up on June 2nd. Give us some of the details of that.
Some of the details is that Gus does a great job of connecting with our local high school coaches. He finds it very important for his staff and himself to give back to our community, which I think is very commendable for him. He puts his heart and soul into it. And like you said, we've had a great turnout here recently. But this year I think is a little special because we're doing so much renovations here at the stadium. Gus is opening up an OTA practice to any of our local high school coaches that register for the clinic. We'll do the practice and then there's lunch before the discussions start with the coaching sessions. And so it's a great event.
How valuable is that if you're a high school or a middle school coach to come in and spend – part of the afternoon, picking the brain of an NFL staff?
To me, I was a high school coach for 4 years, and I would have loved the opportunity to spend some time with NFL staff just to pick their brains. Not so much about what my high school kids can do, but just about the philosophy and how to get guys to work harder. Just made some tips about what I can do for my guys to help them get a little bit better. And if we can bring up our whole Jacksonville community athletically, to me, it's a great asset for all of us.
I think the simple answer is just infect them with Gus's personality, right?
Yeah.
I mean, good luck.
Yeah, I know it.
Duplicating it. But hey, look, we understand, and he understands. There's got to be more on-field results this year. But I think you see these guys. We heard Malik Jackson yesterday on Jaguars.com Live telling John Osier and JP Shadrick that, you know, one of his first impressions of coming here was Gus, just his personality, hugging him and just, you know, embracing it. And I think he's going to be a closer. I think this team, let's knock on wood and hope that they significantly improve that win total. Look, they already did great in free agency. But when you hear a guy like Olivier Vernon, you're always going to have guys that may say, hey, you know, I want to play bright lights, big city in New York. But I think more people are going to start putting Jacksonville on that list as a destination place and not just a, oh, wow, I took a visit and I was surprised how well it went.
Yeah, I agree. You know, some guys like the bright lights and, you know, a big city theme, but I think when you have Gus's personality mixed with the coaching staff that he's put together, Shot Khan, our owner, and Dave Caldwell, our GM, to me the pieces are falling into place. And I think another key cog in that whole wheel is Blake Bortles' play. I was a free agent, and one thing that I'm always looking for is a good quarterback. And right now, what he's got going, a defense turnaround, I think Jacksonville is going to be a destination for a lot of free agents in the time to come.
Obviously, you played with Peyton Manning for a number of years. You know, good quarterback play. But we were discussing this earlier. You look at Peyton's first 5 years in the league, his interception totals were not what you wanted. You know, and it's part of the process of being a young quarterback. And you have to go back and really realize he didn't cut them down to where you came to expect him to be until about year six in the National Football League. Blake's only going into year three, so you know, if he could take a third off of that total, knock it down to 12, that would be a major step. But, Marcus, it's just even just eliminate some of the critical ones at the bad times, right? I know you didn't play quarterback, but how does a quarterback go about, you know, being more efficient in that way, but also being able to take some risks when they're called for?
I think simple answer is experience. And I think with him being going into his third year, in the first 2 years, calling on that experience that he had and having Ole as a coordinator and having Nathaniel Hackett as a quarterback coach, I think with that experience, he's definitely going to improve. To me, when you can go out and say, well, I remember the mistake that I made doing that one last year, let's don't do that one again. To me, that's going to be the key thing in Blake's growth is his experience the previous 2 years.
I know you mentioned that you look for a quarterback when you were a free agent playing in the league. The other thing I'm sure you look for is where the money is. And here in Jacksonville is where the money has been, especially in this offseason. But you talk about it becoming a destination city. And when you look at the NFL Top 100, whatever it's worth or not worth, you're watching, we think Malik Jackson's going to wind up being one of the top 60 players in the league. And Chris Ivory is a guy who signed in free agency. I mean, these are players that have a lot of respect around the league that are choosing Jacksonville over places to come play their football. And I think that's a story that we haven't seen a whole lot of really in the last 15 years in this city and this franchise.
You're absolutely right, Tony. I think, you know, the excitement that's surrounding our draft the previous years, Gus, Dave, Shad, the renovations they're making to the stadium, the pools, the boards, the indoor facility we're doing around out back. To me, we're doing a lot of great things, and there's a lot of buzz And it's not only for our community. I think the NFL community is taking notice as well, because when you get top quality players like that to decide, hey, I want to go play in Jacksonville, it's something more than just the money. And that's what I hope. And so with that being said, if we can get this thing turned around, a few more wins, I think we'll get that more many free agents to come here when it's time, and hopefully get this thing on the right direction, playoffs, and hopefully Super Bowl after that.
Hey, you know it, man. They just laid out where the Jags are going to be playing the next five Super Bowls, by the way. So we know the city where the Jags will be vying for the
NFL
championship.
I'm guessing the director of player development gets a ring if they get a ring.
Yeah, I'd be looking to get a ring. I'd definitely be looking to get a ring.
Radio team. Radio team. What if I pay for it myself, Sean? Marcus, in your role, okay, I would imagine one of the things you do is meet with the rookies.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, welcome to the club, but let me help you acclimate and explain some of the things you can expect to experience maybe for the first time for very many reasons. What were your impressions of some of these guys in the rookie class this year?
Really excited about our class. Jalen, who I thought was a quiet guy, has so much energy and passion. We're in our meetings, so I call them my rookie workshops, where I get a chance to sit and talk to them about, you know, financial education and picking a financial advisor, the payroll, different things like that, and to see his personality come out in our meetings, I'm just blown away just by his smile and his energy. And then to have Miles Jack coming here, just to name two guys, first and second round picks. But I'm really excited about all our guys. A lot of passion, a lot of energy, enthusiasm about football, and love football. Know what we call short-term turds. We don't have any turds. We don't have any turds. And to me, when you can have guys who love football and you can talk to them and they can respond and you don't have turds, you head in the right direction. To me, it's just a credit to our scouting department and Dave Caldwell.
It's not that they'll never have any of those.
That's right.
Because you may at some point need something in the short term, and it's a balancing act. But I think it's a priority for Dave Caldwell. You know, in your experience, you've won big. You've been on a team that had tons of success. Can you win at the highest level having that totally, you know, kind of Boy Scoutish locker room?
Yeah, I think you have to have a little bit of that.
A few dogs.
You got to have some dogs
in
there.
But you can be a good guy.
But see, that's right. That's
right.
What I was going to say. You can be a great guy and still be a dog.
But
I
had all the dog you ever wanted.
And not to brag on myself or pat myself on the back, but I was a great guy, enjoyed people, being in the community, having fun with people. But when I hit the field, I was a jerk, and I could be a dog. And to me, you got to have that. That's what I'm trying to teach our guys. You got to have that switch where you can't do football in a restaurant. You can't do football in a nightclub. You have to find a way to turn that switch on and off and be able to turn that switch on the field and be a straight-up dog. And when you come off the field, hey, you're just a mild-mannered Clark Kent.
How tough is that for the modern player? I'm not trying to pamper them here, but the everything they do is out there, you know, social media, just the media itself. Everywhere you go, everything's written about, everything's blown up, every little quote you give. How tough is that to be a young player and to understand that all the bright lights doesn't mean your play on the field has to follow you or your attitude on the field has to follow you off the field?
Yeah, Mike, that's a great question, because this, to me, when I was coming up, I didn't have to deal with social media. So that's the one aspect of this football life nowadays that can get really misunderstood. Social media, everybody that has a camera phone is a reporter. So no matter what you're doing, somebody can see what you're doing. So just be careful when you go out there. And this persona that you put out there, fans can't interpret what you're saying. So if you're going to tweet something or say something, make sure that your parents will want to read it or hear about it or see it first. And if you can say check to all of that, then go ahead and put it out there. Because once you put it out there, there's no bringing it back. And to me, that's the one thing I say. If your parents would okay it, then send it.
The perception, at least from the outside of especially the guys that are going to be going, you know, first three rounds of the NFL draft, these are stars on their college campuses, is that they live in almost this cocoon where they're protected from all these things. How educated are they when they come to you as rookies? How much are they aware of exactly what kind of situation they're stepping into with having that kind of money for the first time, that kind of exposure on an NFL level for the first time? How educated are they about what they're about to experience?
I think some of the guys, I have to narrow that down to more of the first round guys. It's like they come in with a different awareness than a fourth round guy might, because a fourth round guy may come from a smaller school. Just say like Jalen came from Florida State. Well, they did a lot of different programs along the way to teach them about social media, managing money, stress management, time management. They kind of had a player development department at Florida State, so to speak.
Sure.
And so those guys come in more prepared than somebody who may not have the budget at smaller schools to get them aware. So a lot of times in my meetings when I have, I see wide eyes like, wow, I didn't know that. And so to me, because of the NFL having the foresight to have somebody like myself and other guys around the league to say, listen, let's make our guys aware of what's expected of them as soon as they step in the building. To me, we do a great job of doing the workshops and making sure those young guys who may not have that opportunity at the bigger schools to come in with that same kind of push and transition to get them ready to what life is like in the league.
Let's talk about a slightly different aspect of what's going on with the OTAs. Injuries are a fact of life in the National Football League, no matter how minor or whatever. Every team has them, and when you focus on one team, you're going to think perhaps that your team is more susceptible than somebody else. But how do you balance that? How does the coaching staff in this day and age balance the need to prepare guys, work new faces, be they free agents or rookies, in to a new system, and weigh that against, hey, it's only May, it's only June, we're not playing football that counts until September?
Yeah, that's very delicate conversation about as far as injuries, because that's something that you can't control. Not our medical staff, not our strength conditioning staff, not even our coaches to that degree, because guys are competing. They're going hard, and it's kind of hard to say because we're not in pads. You can only compete to this level, and so injuries are going to happen. But when they do happen, because of the nature of the business that we're in, it's next man up. And to me, you do a great job with your free agents. You do a great job in the scouting. You do a great job in the draft. So when you do have those sorts of injuries, you have somebody, next man up, let's go. Let's go play. And this is the National Football League. Make no mistake about it. Everybody in this business can play. They may not be played at the level of some other guys, but everybody in this business can play.
Well, you know, 3 years ago, I agree with you that everyone can play, but not everyone can play at a high level. And 3 years ago on this roster, first man up often wasn't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
You look at just the what we hope, and look, I'm sure there are people hearing me saying, look at how many games they've won in the last 3 years. They haven't proven anything. I'm not saying they have, but when you, the eyeball test, when you look at the talent on this roster right now, how stark is it compared to the last several years? The difference.
I think, and I hope I'm not stepping out of bounds, because I'm not scouting, I'm not coaching, and I'm not GM. But when we first came here, as an eye test for myself, the cupboard was bare. Now we can eat, because when I look at our roster, there are so many guys on this team that could start for our team that's probably going to get cut this year. And when you have that problem as a team, you can't help but get better, because you're releasing guys that could have potentially started for your team that's not good enough. Because that means the talent pool is really deep. And when you can do that and put that talent on the field with the offense and defense and special teams that we have, the coordinators, I think the sky's the limit for our team, because that talent pool is so much greater now.
You need to stop by more often and just talk football with us, right? Yeah, we love having you in here. I don't love the fact that you're shooting 79-80 these days, because I'm in my head, I think I'm better than everybody. I'm better than no one, and that's a problem for me, Marcus. A week from today is the coaching clinic, third annual, for Gus Bradley. Again, this is for high school coaches all the way down through middle school, but that's the cutoff. You do have to pre-register. Go to jaguars.com/clinic and pre-register, but it's free to attend. They're going to feed you. You're going to attend an OTA practice, watch how it's done in a professional setting, have lunch, and then sit down. And the most valuable part to me, the brain storming that goes on with the coaching staff. And they're all a part of this.
Yes, even our strength conditioning coaches, everybody's
right. So
involved.
So any aspect of coaching football, preparing young men to play the game safely, responsibly, the correct way, and to have success, what a great, great opportunity. If you're a coach in this area, I don't know why you would not be a part of
it. Take full advantage of it.
Yeah, coming up a week from today, Marcus, great stuff with you. Look forward to seeing you out there on the practice field very shortly. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks,
there he
Tony.
Goes. Marcus Pollard, Director of Player Development of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Tony, just in case you didn't know what his title was. All right, I just want to get that in there one last time. All right, we got the fan feedback spotlight coming up, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, asking you simply this. If you could ask Gus Bradley anything today, what would you ask him? Tony and I are going to have that opportunity coming up in about 20 minutes. And if you don't hear it today, you'll hear that conversation tomorrow on Jaguars Today with the head coach after 1 week of OTAs are in the books. Live at Everbank, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Tony, you feel it? A little adrenaline rush, a chaos of live radio about to happen, and all these different worlds are crashing together and coalescing right now. I got a text from Tad Tickman that they're headed in right now. It looks like Gus Bradley's on his way, so probably going to be here in just a few minutes, and we'll have him on live before the show wraps up today.
Cool.
So we got a slew of questions suggested from people that have no chance of being asked to Gus Bradley. Look, I know a lot of people like this question, and I understand why they wanted it answered. Many people suggested the Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback spotlight that ask Gus how many games does he need to win to keep his job. I guarantee you, we know the answer. Gus is going to say, I don't think that way. I don't concern myself with that. I'm not even thinking about that. I just go out there.
Yeah.
He doesn't talk about win totals. And even if he has a number, he's not going to tell you. You know, even if he thinks, I got to win 10 games, he's not going to say, he's not going to put that out there. And we're not trying to be wimpy about it. We just know it's a pointless question to ask. It's not the way he's going to approach the situation.
Sure. Look, I think I asked a pretty pointed question when I was talking to him up at the NFL Combine when I asked how much pressure is there on you. Like, and asking it from a player's perspective, do the players feel like there's pressure on them to win for you? Right? Because I think that aspect of it could be the more troublesome one if there is going to be an issue, because I think the players really do like Gus Bradley. And when you hear the rookies coming in with Miles Jack and Jalen Ramsey and talking about having had the opportunity to meet him and how cool they thought Gus Bradley was, how cool it's going to be to play for this guy, how much do they want to win for you? And does that pressure eventually fall on them during the season? And he said, look, it happens every year. Right? Like, it happens every year that there's pressure in the NFL to win, so I don't view it as any more or less pressure this year than I did any other year going into an NFL season. And that's the way they're approaching this thing. It's kind of like Dave Caldwell saying the first 2 years don't count. Well, they may count for you as a fan because you're paying,
right?
Because you're going, and because you're invested in the team, but they're viewing it differently than I think a lot of people are.
Yeah, and, you know, if there's a comment I think Dave might like to have back, that might be one of them. I don't think they even think that way, though. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think Dave Caldwell's like, you know, I'm pretty comfortable with what I've said about the situation. I know how I'm looking at it. I know what I mean by those kind of comments. You may choose to disagree, and that's fine. No, we're not sitting here saying you've got to buy what they're saying. You know, we just try to present it to you and ask the questions that the majority of people would like to have answered that have a chance of really being answered forthrightly.
Sure.
Right?
There's questions I have, too. I mean, there's stuff I'm curious about. That's why I asked.
No question. So we're kind of juggling the balls right now because Gus and Tad are on the way in, but, you know, things can kind of derail you. If we push it a few more minutes here, we may break, wrap it up, come back with Midday Chalk on the other side. Our intention always has been to talk to Gus right after the program today, so we'll see. It's one of those live radio deals. So in the meantime, let me clear up some business. Thank John Osier from Jaguars.com for joining us on the program today. Thank T-Wig from the Midday Chalk for joining us on the program today, talking OTAs. Marcus Pollard, Director of Player Development for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Don't forget Gus Bradley's coaching clinic is a week from today. Mm-hmm. All you high school coaches, junior high, all the way down to middle school coaches. I see those guys when we practice soccer down in St. Augustine. Those middle school guys are practicing every day for weeks and weeks and weeks at this time of year for fall football season. Take advantage of the coaching clinic. That's absolutely free. Attend OTAs, have lunch with the staff, and then pick the brain of the entire Jaguars coaching staff from strength and conditioning on up to the head man and everybody in between.
Sure. And if you're a player that's listening right now, middle school through high school, I assume, are they still in school or are they out? It's May 26th. They're out.
My son's final day is today.
Okay.
Well, that's the SJC, though, the mighty SJC.
If anyone's listening, contact your coach and see if they're coming to this thing. Right.
Right.
It can work both ways there.
Can soccer coaches go to this? I'm just looking for a free lunch. That's really all I'm looking to get out of this whole set of shenanigans going on right there. All right. We're on the cusp right now, Tony. We need to get to about 47. To bring this bad boy home. So one way or the other, you and I will be talking to Gus Bradley. I'm thinking the longer it goes, the more you're going to hear from him coming up tomorrow morning. But he did speak at the podium after practice today. Any players speaking, by the way, that you can gather?
I did not see
on
any.
Jaguar
no.
Twitter.
Malik Jackson's actually up right now.
Malik Jackson's up. Okay. So, Tyler, I'm sure we'll hear from Gus and Malik in some capacity throughout the course of the afternoon right here on 1010XL, your flagship home for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I've made a command decision. You'll hear our interview with Gus Bradley tomorrow. We made it to 46. Even if he walks in the door right now, I can wrap this bad boy up. No. That was the plan. That should not be the sound we're hearing right now.
We have to wait 24 hours almost to hear Gus Bradley.
I got it. Tad Dickman said he got stopped. We're walking inside right now. By the time they get down the hall, beautiful. We're going to wrap this bad boy up. We're going to put one in the can. So, Tony, tomorrow, instead of working a grueling two-hour day, I'm going to work an hour and 45-minute day.
Nice.
And we're going to play that interview for you on Jaguars Today tomorrow morning. Thanks to Joe Fortunato. Thanks to Tyler Devitt, all of our guests that we mentioned already. 1 week of OTAs in the books. So that'll wrap things up for Tony and I, live from Everbank here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. For Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey signing off. Stick around. Midday Chalk, Joe C., Hacker, and T-Wig. Plenty from OTAs as they are out of practice this afternoon. Plenty from, I'm sure, the NBA playoffs and the blowout victory that Cleveland got over Toronto last night. Can Golden State bounce back and at least win game five? I'm sure that and more will be discussed throughout the course of the afternoon as well. And Tony and I will be back as we head into the holiday weekend. This place is shutting down. They're closing the blinds. They're putting the shutters. They're closing the shutters on the windows tomorrow. And hopefully they're going to get a lot of construction done over the next 4 days. That's my great hope. We'll be back out here live at Everbank next week, covering OTAs as best we possibly can from our perspective here on Jaguars Today. So, for all the aforementioned, we're going to wrap it right here. And tomorrow morning, look forward to our conversation with the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Gus Bradley. Up next, Midday Chalk. For Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. That does it for Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.